Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc. All rights reserved.
Welcome back. It's 12 after the hour. Thank you very much for hanging out with me. I'm Jim Blasingame, and you're listening to the Small Business Advocate Show, and I'm glad you're here. I'm glad Tom Anastasi is here, too. Tom is a great member of our Brain Trust. He's a Small Business Development Center consultant. He's taught leadership at Harvard University School of Public Health, and it was the MBA director at Daniel Webster College. He's the author of The Successful Entrepreneur, and he is our good friend. Tom Anastasi, welcome back to the show.
Oh, thank you very, very much.
It's good to have you back. Tom, one of the things you and I have talked about recently, and I'd like to talk some more about it, is this the idea of decision-making. And a lot of people might think, well, duh, you know, people make decisions all the time. We're born able to make decisions. I want the peas. I don't want the beans. You know, I like chocolate, I don't like vanilla. That's, duh, who needs help making decisions? But the truth is, it is a discipline that needs to be improved and continually worked on in the marketplace, isn't it?
It is, because, you know, let's be kind to our brains, because our brains have to do about 600 things constantly to keep us alive. I mean, body temperature and salt in the bloodstream, and you name it, blood pressure, it's all there. So while when your brain has a millisecond or two free, it's going to decide whether you should launch the product or not. And it's very, very difficult, because one of the things that happens is that we tend to take the path of least resistance in decisions, whether they're small decisions or big decisions. But, well, you know, but your brain's got so much else going on that it's kind of natural. So what we can do is we can teach our brains a different way. And one of the things I want to talk about today is something called irrational escalation of commitment. And to understand that, you have to understand that if you put a frog in a pot of boiling water, it won't die. It'll jump out. Now, don't do this to a frog. But it will. It'll jump out. They did this experiment many years ago. And then,
as you and I would.
Yeah. And so, but if you put a frog in cold water, then turn the heat up, the frog will die, because a frog's body is cold-blooded. And so what happens is that it adapts to its surroundings.
Mm-hmm.
And then there's going to come a point where the water gets so warm that he can't use his muscles anymore.
Then you got a cooked frog.
You got a cooked frog. Well, you know, businesses can be the same way, because little things happen incrementally.
Insidiously.
And so all of a sudden, you put, you know, $1,000 into this new product, and it doesn't work. So you put another $2,000 or $3,000, thinking that, well, you know, maybe the timing wasn't right. Now you've got $10,000 into this new product, and you say, well, geez, you know, we have $10,000 in it.
Mm-hmm.
We got to really go for it. And, you know, one of the things that accountants will talk to you about is, you know, the concept of sunk costs.
Sunk costs, or also known more recently as the Concord fallacy.
Yeah, I don't know that one.
Go ahead with your thought. I'll tell you about that in a minute. Go ahead.
All right. Well, what happens is that we all know about sunk costs. We read it, but people don't behave that way. You know, if you
sunk costs basically means, wow, I've already got so much in this. I can't afford to stop, even though you're not, you know, you realize you got a problem, right?
Right, because, you know, if you had made the decision, okay, this isn't going to work, I've just lost $2,000, it's painful, move on to your next thing. However, what do people do? They put in $8,000 or $9,000.
Right.
And they say, geez, you know, if I could have gone back and just, you know, cut my losses in two, that would have been great.
Right.
It's very difficult.
And one of the elements, one of the ingredients of getting into a sunk cost vortex is ego.
Well, sure. I mean, absolutely, because, you know, you really think, okay, I'm smarter than everybody else. But on the other hand, it's also it's almost a human need to try to make things
work. Sometimes you got to admit this isn't going to work. I was wrong. I need to turn this loose so I can be right somewhere else, doing something else.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
There you go. And then you're saving your money for your next great idea. And the problem can happen is that when you have the next great idea and the market's right and everything's all aligned, you don't have any money because
right.
you just spent $8,000 on a dog.
I will tell you that a big part of success as a business manager is knowing when to pull the trigger to start something and knowing when to pull the plug to stop something.
Exactly.
And I mean, I know a lot of people, Tom, who are not really any smarter than anybody else, but they assumed the ability to make those kinds of decisions. And you and I both know really, really, really smart, highly intelligent, maybe geniuses who couldn't do that, and they failed.
Right, and there's a way to avoid that trap. And
okay.
that is talk to people closest to the customer, especially people who work with you, work for you, or people who know your type of customers. So this is what you do, or customers
right.
themselves.
Right.
You don't say, hey, I've got this idea for a new product. What do you think?
Mm-hmm.
Because most people are going to say, yeah, that sounds pretty good. What you do is you say, I've got an idea for three or four or five products. One is yours, and four are fake ideas.
Right.
That way, when you pitch all five of them,
mm-hmm.
what's going to happen is you're going to get the straight scoop on the idea that you thought
right.
was the winner. You say, oh, my gosh,
mm-hmm.
this isn't working out nearly as well as I had hoped.
Mm-hmm.
Especially if you have people, an employer or two or three, that talks to customers every day. And, you know, they're the ones that are going to really give you what you want if you give them three or four
right.
ideas. Because if you're the boss, they're not going to sit there and say, hey, boss, come on, are you crazy? But if you say, I've got ideas...
You've
got
to give them choices so that they feel like they're not... So they can be honest and open with you about these decisions. To help you make...
And they don't
know
which is the fake...
To help
right,
you become...
Right, they don't know which is the fake idea.
To help your organization to make better decisions. That's the key, folks, is maybe the best way to make decisions is not for you to make them, but for your organization to make them. Tom, give us your website quickly, please.
Oh, TomAnastasi.com.
Check it out. Quick break. Right back with Tom after these messages. We come back. I'm going to explain to you what the Concord fallacy is. Stay with us.
Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc., intended for the private use of our audience. Except as otherwise provided by copyright law, all other copying, redistribution, or publication without prior written consent is prohibited. All rights reserved.